are listening to T-Mac and Cookie Monster on the Radiant Culture Podcast. Engaging and exciting conversation on life, God, and pop culture. Every week on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Radiant Culture Podcast. My name is T-Mac.
And I'm Cookie Monster.
And we have such an exciting guest today. I'm so excited. We have Tariro Neki Tari. Do people still call you that? Yes, the crowd goes wild. Welcome to Radiant Culture.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited too.
AKA TNG.
Yep.
Yeah. So you've kept the name as is.
The name doesn't change. Yeah. It's just me and the guitar. Yeah. I don't think much can change.
Awesome. So we're just going to be talking a bit about your journey,
sure.
Where you've come from, where you're going, your journey with Christ, and everything that is pertains to that.
Yeah. I think, one of the most interesting things, is just the fact that your name directly associates you with your instrument.
Yeah.
Out of interest, how did that come about?
So I played with different bands before. I used to play with Edith, and I played with Diana Samkange. And the thing that stuck out the most was So when it came to choosing a name, I thought, okay, what is the easiest thing without cracking my head too much?
Yeah.
And it's Tariro ne Gitarirake. And I thought, oh, cool, man.
Stuck. Does the guitar have a name?
No. I once gave it a name, and then that time my husband was like, ah, cool, who's that? I was like, no, it's the guitar. So I was like, you know what? Forget this name. Guitar. Stop.
Yeah,
men can be like that at times.
Nice. All right, so how did your career actually begin, for you to be playing the guitar in the first place?
So I started playing the guitar at 13. I went to St. John's Emerald Hill, and we were in the choir, not choir, but we had music lessons every week, the class music.
Yeah.
And my brother used to play, who's the firstborn in our family. And so we had a guitar at home. And Sister Elizabeth, who was then taking music, was like, look, I'm looking for a couple of people to join the guitar choir. Which was not the coolest thing at St. John's.
Never even heard of that. Did other schools have a guitar choir?
Well, some Catholic schools did. Because, it's the guitar players would play in mass. So it was
1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. G, 2, 3, 4.
Really?
She was German, so it wasn't.
Okay.
So I put up my hand. I was like, hey, why not? So fast forward a couple of years later, a friend of mine, Charmaine, actually, I was now working at African Sun. And she's like, look, there's an open mic session. We sisters open mic session at the Book Cafe. Don't you want to come and jam? And I was like, hey, why not? So I went, and coincidence, God's plans, that happened to be the first anniversary of the sisters open mic. So Yobusi Ngubes were there, Edith Wotonga was there, Dudu Maniga. There was this queens in the house. And I was like, okay. Then Dudu says to me, you play guitar. In fact, there's a chick over there who plays bass. Why don't you guys link up? And I was like, hey, I play guitar. She's like, great, I'm going to call you on stage. I'm like, wait. I'm not that good. Don't worry, we'll just have fun. So she called me up on stage and we jammed. It was amazing. The next Friday, she's like, dude, we have a gig. Cool, Wimpy. It was Wimpy at Borrowdale.
Oh my gosh, this was that long ago. Oh my gosh.
And here we are now.
It's Wimpy. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. And so, Tari, I think, you've... you're definitely one of the renowned female artists in Zim.
Wow.
And I want to just understand even just some of the accomplishments, the things that you've been able to do, and just as a musician, and I guess how that journey has been for you, because I know you've toured, you're a common face, you know what I'm saying?
So I don't know if that's a good thing.
But let's say you're popular.
Okay.
For the right reasons.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. So maybe you can just share with us, part of your journey, the things that you managed to do, some of the things you've managed to accomplish, and just how that has been for you.
Okay. I think, in retrospect, I've been blessed to be on some really good stages. My career just went so fast. And I was just privileged to be thrown into the right hands at a very early stage. I remember once I played with Edith and Tuku was in the audience. And so I'm like more excited. Tuku, he gets to hear me. So I put on my best shot. Then he comes to me after the show. He's like, you know what? You're really good. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. And he's like, but next time, chuna guitar it out.
Oh my god, I was like, only when I got on my own, that was
probably the most embarrassing moment.
Yeah.
How do you not tune your guitar? I mean, shat. So from then I've made it a point, you know what, let me tune my guitar. But that has opened up so many doors. My relationship with Tuku has been, you know, surreal. He'll call me up on some gigs that I'm just like, Neymari, how did I get to this stage? So yeah, I've had a lot of good moments. But one moment that stands out for me was my first international tour, which was to Germany, where we had about 22 shows in 3 weeks.
Whoa.
And that was literally by faith, because we met with a band called Jamaram that came to Zimbabwe for Haifa. And please note, I didn't even have an album yet. I had just gone through a personal, you know, a whole divorce, and, you know, things just were not going well personally for me. And then as soon as I left that situation, this opportunity came up and we had to fundraise for it. And things just literally came together at the last minute. But it was an act of faith by me, prayer, and Rutendo, who were going on that tour. And that opened up my eyes to the possibilities of a career. I said, Lord, what is this? And you know, German precision, they had everything on point. We had a tour bus, we had a comma. It was just the works. The lighting was on point. Mukati, Malaysia, it was just like, oh. It was just, so when I got back, I was like, Lord, is this the level that you want to take me? Is this, you know, it was, for me, I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I really felt inadequate, but it really pushed me to get my act in order in terms of the gifting, because it's something I never thought I would have as a career. I don't know if I've answered your question.
I think you can.
Okay.
What were you qualified in? Like,
okay, so I have a diploma in personnel management. Then I did my degree in sociology and gender studies. Oh. And my master's is in development.
Okay.
Which has nothing to do with.
Yeah, developing
but
people.
The way things work, all things work together for good for those who love God. And I mean, in 2013, I remember I said to God, but why would you let me waste my time in school for me to be a guitarist? Like, why would you do that? I should have just done this. I kid you not. Soon after that, I get an opportunity in Zambia to be a consultant for a project. Hear this. They were looking for an artist with event experience. And I had worked at African Sun in events for a while, and with a master's degree. That was what they were looking
for.
And I said, you gotta be kidding me. And the Lord was like, yes. And I did that project. It was amazing. It, you know, that's also another consultancy area that I'm now involved in,
that
development,
so
especially with
cool.
arts and culture.
That is yeah. pretty
cool. So don't, you must get those books, guys.
That's good. Because, books. You know, sometimes musicians are notorious for...
Oh, yeah.
For neglecting that side of things.
That's true. You asked, you know, Tarirone Gitare.
Yeah.
You know, later revelation, now that I'm more into, you know, what God is doing, he said to me, you know what? There's Tariro and then there's Gitare. There's you and there's the gift. And the gift is going to make room for Tariro. So when the gift makes room for Tariro, what do you do? That's where everything else comes into play. So that's, yeah. That's...
So maybe we can actually get into that part of the story. You know, because I would like to understand your journey of faith.
Okay.
Right. So there you are, you know, you're a rising star, you're on all, you're on all these popular, all these big stages, you're rubbing shoulders with the Tukus and all these big musicians. So at what point did you then decide to start pursuing God or to start following God? And how did that whole... how did that all come about?
Okay, so I'll give you a bit of background before we get there. So I was born and bred Catholic. So you understand what that means. and then, so at 21, I fell pregnant. And, you know, thank God the father of my child was like, you know what? You're a good girl. Let me just, you know, I can put you in the kitchen or whatever. So we got married. So we got married. I mean, we were too young. We were way too young. We hadn't even found ourselves. 6 years later, we divorced.
Okay.
Was he also around the same age?
He was about 3 years older than me. Mm-hmm. He was 3 years older.
Right.
But I mean, guys are guys. Children, Farah, even, you know, we were just not ready. And now the responsibility, Emwana, and she has a story of her own. She came at 27 weeks. Instead of 40.
Wow.
So can you imagine that
all of
drama?
That.
You know, that's all happening. And at the same time, I was in hospitality. I'm pursuing my education. There was just a whole lot of stuff
going on. Yeah.
So when we divorced, that's when... So in the process, I'm also, you know, dabbling in music. I'm going for a gig here and there after work. And then I decided, okay, this music thing is kind of working. So let me ditch this, you know, work stuff and start the music. And I start pursuing the music. And then the divorce happened. And soon after that, the tour happened, the Germany tour.
Yeah.
So imagine this. I'm coming from this situation. I'm like, okay, that didn't work. And here's a really nice opportunity. So I didn't get to deal with this.
With the divorce.
It was just like, okay, done. Ah, okay,
onto the next.
Let's go.
Onto the next. Yeah.
So I come back from Germany. Doors opened left, right, and center. Every corporate wanted me to perform. Every gig. I was all over the place, you know. I was touring. Now I'm all, you know, it's this female chick on a guitar. Who wouldn't want that at the next festival? I was all over the place.
Yeah.
That I didn't get to work on or to heal or to help myself with this process or this bad thing that has just happened.
Right.
So as you have it, I got into the wrong relationship, started dating the wrong men.
Hey, my artist, say no need.
It's not. I don't think it's an artist thing, but it's about any woman who is in a vulnerable position.
No, don't mean you. I mean guy artists.
So why are you pointing at me?
Of course.
I think it's really just that vulnerability where I'm in a space where no one else could possibly relate.
Yeah.
And then you don't know who to trust because imagine I come and tell you, Kuti, Sha, this is what's going on. Like, hey, did you hear? It's now a tabloid. That's another drama on its own.
Mm.
So I didn't have anyone to turn to. One, two, I'm trying to be a mother here. You know, I'm trying to get my daughter through school. I'm trying to still do those roles and still run a career that I have no template on how to work this thing. It's literally just running. I'm just running. I had no direction. So the wrong relationships came through. I started dating married men, started getting into cultic practices I didn't even know I was getting into.
Oh, did you say occultic?
Yes, you'd be surprised what's going on around this country. But those sort of things. And then 2015, that's when, you know, when the seed of God is in you, something felt wrong. I had a launch of my second album, which was called Chipo Changu. And I remember at the launch, it was a beautiful launch. Everything was sponsored. I had, like, it was the works.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked around the room and I'm like, ha, these people don't even know. They don't even know what's going on. They think of this brand. And I had built a very nice brand. You know what I mean? Mm. It was glamorous. It was, this chick has her stuff in order. But I was just eaten away. I was just broken. And I didn't know who to turn to. I remember when I got home that night, it was my 30th birthday, actually. And I'm thinking, okay, I should be out celebrating, but with who? And I just broke down and I started crying. Gatimwari, if this is what the gift is doing, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Please take it back. I'd rather go back to the office and work zvaka naka naka, earn my salary and just be a stay-at-home. I don't know, but this I don't want.
Right.
Either we do it your way or I pack this guitar and sell it. I kid you not, soon after that, things started happening. Yeah. I was beautifully broken in terms of the wrong relationship just started to break away.
Yeah.
I just called up everyone and said, Sha, I can't do this. I don't know what God is doing, but later.
Yeah.
Bye. You know, the friends just started running away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things just started going downhill.
Mm.
You know, the gigs became less. I lost my car. I lost my house. I lost everything that I had, you know, that I'd accumulated on my own with my own effort.
And how was that whole process for you?
It was discouraging and encouraging because what would happen is I'd maybe let go of a person and then something would come out in the newspaper about that person. And you're like, oh, snap. Or something. It was like that. I'd let go of something. And then a story would come out. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's why I literally just missed exactly. It was like in the nick of time. And then I was like, okay, that's when I had to realize this is happening for a reason. It's not just Kutindi Rwadziwe. The Lord, I said, Lord, sure, I've just given my life to you. And I thought it's supposed to be like this.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We think that when you are saved, miracles just happen like that. We think it's just manna just falls from heaven and then I'm this gospel artist. No, it has to be a process. You have to walk through a certain journey. That way I can now tell you, because you know what? I passed through this. It works. It works. And I saw the hand of God in every area. Then the right door started opening. Then the right people started coming into my life. Then the right opportunity started coming. That would pay me 3 times more than I was getting paid.
Mm.
Or you'd be called to sing one song and get paid 10 times more. You're like, Lord, what is this?
Yeah.
And I literally had to see God taking care of every need step by step. Mm-hmm. And my daughter will be like, you know what, mom? God will provide. And I kid you not, someone will just come home and say, ah, you know, I just thought, let me buy you 2 loaves. And you know, that's literally how my life has been working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a need, God provides. I now don't have to call anyone up and say, Sha, hey. You know, things just don't work. I go on my knees. I'm like, Lord, hey. And he's like, I got you.
Yeah. This is quite amazing. And out of interest, if you don't mind me asking, so the father of your daughter, right, when all this stuff is happening, yeah. Is he in your daughter's life? Or was that also part of
the whole mess? Yeah, that was part of the whole mess.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got his days, he's got good days and bad days. But some things, I mean, I think things happen for a reason. And we also needed our time to heal as my daughter and I.
Right.
And I think a lot of what God is doing is to replace that reliance on a father and allowing him to be the father.
Mm.
And which is also a lesson I really want to share with a lot of single moms, to say sometimes, look, if someone is not as responsible enough to take care of his own seed,
yeah,
that should not compromise the life of that seed. You have to rely on the father, that's the good. Giver of life, and say, Mwari, you gave me this child. If wherever the source is, it should be from you. It shouldn't be from anyone else. And the more we rely on people, the less we rely on God.
Yeah.
But when you see God providing in a supernatural way, I tell you, that is the best feeling in the world. You don't, not that you don't need people, but he will use anyone he chooses, and you just rely on him.
Yeah.
That's what the focus should be.
Wow.
You know, another thing that I want to ask you, Tari, is we're living in an age where, you know, people are looking for fame.
Mm.
Everyone is out there trying to be famous. Everyone is trying to get onto some big stage or trying to be known by Tuku or whoever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they can post it on their Instagram and, you know, all of this stuff. That's the kind of age we're living in.
Mm.
And there you are, you're giving all of that up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I'm trying to understand that, right? That what drove you to get to a point where you're like, you know, yes, I've got all these things happening. I'm in all these popular circles and stuff, but I want to give all of that up to pursue God. Like, what gave you the courage? And I'll qualify this because I'm asking this on behalf of, you know, we've got all kinds of listeners, and I know there are people out there who may be in a similar situation, or maybe people that are thinking, you know, I want to do it big on my own or whatever, right? But just the fact that, you know, you're someone who's actually experienced it and you were willing to go the other way, so to speak. Yeah.
It's not real. That's the truth. It's not real. I learned that people will like you because of what you have or because of where you are.
At that time.
The reality for me was when I had nothing. Where you call someone up, Sha, ah, sorry, Sha, no, I can't. And you're like, but I thought...
We're boys.
We were, exactly.
Yeah.
And another thing that, you know, the Lord was just joking with me about is like, Tari, you've got over 11,000, 12,000 followers, but how come your gigs are never full of those followers? And then that hit me because, you know, this social media is not real. It's such a facade.
Yeah.
And I think the scariest thing now, you know, as the Lord reveals to me, is knowing the level of responsibility that you have as an artist and then being held accountable for it. I mean, I always picture God saying to me, okay, with everything that I gave to you, what did you do for me?
Hmm.
I would rather fill a people's souls than stadiums, to be honest.
Wow.
Because the worst thing is someone coming to your show and leaving empty.
Yeah.
Or someone coming to your show and leaving worse than they were before. I tell you, it's not a joke. When you experience heaven, when you experience the Holy Spirit, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. So if also just knowing that when I get on stage, it's not me anymore. It's God who's taken over. So how can I even take credit for that? Like, how... My wish is that everyone just experiences... Just cut Holy Spirit, be done, all right?
Uh-huh.
Because it changes everything. It changes everything. That's when I saw this fame, don't even have my back.
Yeah.
Right.
The person who was there for me throughout was Jesus.
Yeah.
Was the Holy Spirit. It's that person was there for me and not these people. So I cannot keep pleasing these people who are doing nothing for me.
Mm.
These stages, these same, you know, people who publicize you are the same people who talk behind your back. So it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Wow. So, in terms of the music, so you have this come to Jesus moment, mm-hmm. and you get a revelation of yeah. who God is, what He is in your life. Mm-hmm. So then, but your music wasn't gospel per se. So yeah. how did it then affect your attitude towards your own music?
Okay, so I believe that whether I was in Christ or not, my music was still inspired. The yeah. creative process is there's no way anyone can do that on their own. I kid you not, that process is spiritual. Where is it coming from? You know what I mean? I've always, where is the stuff coming from?
Yeah.
So you find that now what I do is, this is a journey. My life is a journey. And every artist or every person in the public eye is a picture of what you can be. So the song that I'll sing, Uripi, the song that I'll sing is really just me saying, you know what, this is where I was and this is where I'm going.
Mm.
When I wrote the song, this is what was happening. And I'm encouraging you. Yes, mazwa, fanani. So the music is still inspired. If you actually listen to the old albums, I listen to songs that ministered to me from my first album.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, wow. Is this what was going on?
Mm.
And a lot of it was very prophetic.
Yeah.
There's a song that actually called Ndisi Andakadaro off my first album.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, ah. So I was already going through that process before I even knew I was.
Mm.
So the journey is, it's now so fascinating to actually go back and listen to that music and see where I've come
yeah.
from. And it's so inspiring to see the work of God. Again, all things will still work together yeah. for good.
Mm. And so from the people who you used to get gigs from before, be it the cafes or the corporates, yeah. what was their reaction to the shift? Or did they not even notice? They just still loved Tari Rone Gitare and they're just like, whatever you're singing, we don't care, just come.
So you find some of the spaces now I'm not even comfortable going to anymore.
Yeah.
Now you see more, you get there. Oh my gosh.
Mm.
I can't even. And then some things will just happen. They'll just cancel on their own. Or, you know, they just won't call me.
Yeah.
Like I said, new doors just started opening. Mm. You just get called to the right places. Like here. I mean, how did the way we all connected?
Yeah.
It's funny the way things are working. The video that you actually watched, I woke up the morning, the Lord is like, share your testimony. I'm like, yeah, but I need to get my makeup artist. Like, Shamar, is this what we're... And I literally didn't even bath. I just put on, you know, some lipstick and just some gloss. And
did you just say you didn't bath?
I didn't bath. And it was early in the morning. Took my tablet and just placed it on the window because that's the best light. And I was just like, okay, here we go. La, 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 la. And then I did it. And then,
oh,
you know, that's the video that everyone's seeing. Hi, can you come to our church? Hi, can we do this?
Yeah.
A lady called me up. Hi, can I saw the video. Can I do it properly for you? I think God literally said, hey, man, I'm going to go. Okay. So she came and she did it nicely. But I'm
that
just saying,
so cool.
So the right doors are now opening because of the change that has happened in me. I think you attract what you are.
Mm.
You attract what you are. Those that are not, I mean, like how my old friends would just be like, we just don't click anymore.
Yeah.
I get them like, Jesus, yesterday I had a revelation. They're like, oh, snap.
She's on just, with the Jesus stuff
so
again.
So they won't call me.
Yeah.
Nobody's calling me to hang and talk about revelations.
Yeah. I think it's a fear that quite a lot of people have.
Oh,
like
yes.
They get the urge that I need to change, something needs to change, but then they think, and I leave all of this behind,
that's
all these
thing.
People, all
that's
my friends, all my whatever. They think their life will be empty.
That's the thing.
Once they give their life to Christ, when it's literally, from what you're saying, the exact opposite.
It is the
like your life
opposite.
Will be so much more fulfilling.
It is so much more fulfilling, and you, like you, Lord, give me the right words to say. It's, you know, when I read the word, and I'm just like, was this always in the Bible? Was this always there? How did I miss this?
Yeah.
The same verse can come out in 20 different versions and you're like, wow.
Mm.
So where do you even get time?
Right.
I don't know where people get time on social media to talk about the things they talk about. I'm like, do you realize that there's a whole supernatural realm that we're trying to explore and just bring that stuff down to earth?
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. It just, so I guess it makes sense why monks and those people just stay in the rock,
away
in the mountains,
from all of
and just
the
stay
craziness.
Away from monks, because there's just so much more. It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
Wow. So then did you have someone like help or people helping you along the way? Since it seems like you kind of came to the decision on your own. It wasn't like an altar call.
Oh, yes. There's a lady called Prophetess Catherine. She's a musician as well. But when I met her, she wasn't. Okay, I didn't know she was prophetic.
Mm.
So the way the Lord works, we actually met the the time when I, you know, was working at Book Cafe a lot, I was doing a lot of, you know, gigs at the Book Cafe. And she'd just be, you know, hi, you know, we stayed in touch. And then when she saw that I was ready, she then came and, you know, hi, come to my house for coffee. We'd have coffee. Then she would just share the word until there was a point where I would go every day.
Wow.
Every single day, every morning. She'd tell me about this. I was reading about this. Tell me about that. And she had a level of revelation that even up to today, I'm just like, hey, you know what I mean? But yeah, she started a ministry then. That's how I left the Catholic Church to join, you know, a church called Vision of Hope. And yeah, it's just been an exciting experience. And I'm hoping to usher more people into, you know, through that road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think, you know, just listening to your story and how your life got transformed and the path that you're on now is actually really profound. And, you know, T-Mac touched on something, which is that sometimes the difficulty is in, you know, someone making the decision to follow God because they're thinking of all the things they're going to have to give up to follow God.
Oh, you
know,
yes.
If you're popular, if you're famous, you're thinking, ish, I'm going to have to give up all of this or, you know. And yet, you know, scripture actually does talk about the fact that what is it? It says if you're, this scripture is, it always gets me. It says if your right hand or something causes you, if your right hand causes you to sin,
cut it off.
Cut it off. I'm just thinking, you know, that's extreme.
That's extreme.
But, you know, if you really read through that, the heart of what Jesus is saying is that if you're going to follow me, you've got to be willing to totally do away with the things that distract you from me.
That's true.
And I think that's a struggle that we're having in our generation, that we kind of want to hold on to both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess my next question, just concerning your journey as an artist, as a musician, is what's next? What's the future looking like for Tari?
Wow.
What are we looking forward to? Are you a full-on gospel artist? What's changed in your art and how you present it?
I don't know. You'd have to tell me, you know, when you hear the new stuff. But I know I don't know where it's going, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm literally waiting for God to just tell me the next step. My life has been like that. Every day I'm like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally just waiting for God to just direct the steps. And he has been already. But I am excited. I know that he's going to do exceedingly and abundantly above what I even ask or think. So I'm really excited about where it's going because my dreams and visions are big. So if he's going to do bigger than that, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm trusting him.
Yeah.
And I know that he's just going to do amazing things. But I have been writing a lot of new music, which I performed for the first time on Saturday, which was out of this world. Again, I did a concert which was a full house, you know, and the hand of God was just all over the place.
Yeah. Mm.
You'd find people who'd come in with their wines and they leave crying. Mm. You know what I mean? I had a lady send me a message. She's like, I don't know what happened to me on Saturday, but can I come and see you?
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, I see you, God. I see you. And it was a whole new audience, you know, people that wouldn't normally come to my concert.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing to see that God is using anyone who wants. Right. In this season, he's just using anyone who is just saying, Lord, I'm here to work.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is the season for the church to really come up and take their stand.
I like that.
And he's not going to wait for any pastor. If he can use me, guys. Anyone who wants.
I like that. Mm. So I've got one more question.
Yes.
Which is, this is to do now with music,
yeah.
Right? And art. You know, one of the, we've actually done an episode on this, which is, the question is, there seems to be this conflict sometimes, right, concerning what Christian art or Christian music is supposed to be,
yeah,
right? And it's a good thing we've got you in here as an artist. So in terms of your understanding or your belief or your approach to art, do you believe that a Christian artist has to be someone who's singing Christian songs or songs that blatantly talk about God and Jesus and all, you know, just biblical stuff, you know,
yeah.
The direct, explicit biblical stuff? Or can it be someone who is singing love songs that are inspired or, you know, motivational, inspirational type stuff, which is not necessarily talking about God directly?
Yeah.
But, you know, so I guess my question is it about the content or is it about the inspiration?
There's a scripture that says, whatever is noble, whatever is kind, whatever is good, etc., etc. I don't
Philippians
know.
Yeah.
Philippians 4,
think
8,
about these things.
9.
And the Lord is just saying, chese chakanaka, ndichangu. All things belong to God.
Yeah.
So whether I'm singing about this box, if it's God's, I believe it's gospel. If it's a good box,
yeah,
it's God's box. So I'll sing about it because it's good. If it's a tree and I think it's really nice, I'm going to sing about it because it's good, it's noble, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
It's about the inspiration. Where is it coming from? Because sometimes you can sing about good things, but where is the source? Where is the source of your inspiration coming from? And if you experience heaven and you see the diversity in heaven, what we stress about here on earth is just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming back and he's not even concerned about Murugita genre EP. You know what I mean? Mm. Are you preaching? Are you preaching people? Are you preaching to people about me? Are you getting souls saved? Is your life exemplifying? So I don't even need to preach Jesus. You should just look at me and say, ah, but it's something. But it's something, Bamunu. Right. And then when you come to me, I tell you, no, it's Jesus. I remember in Germany, the second time I went, and I wasn't even, you know, saved then, this lesbian came up to me. She's like, I don't know what it is about you, girl. I don't know. It's just something about you that just draws me to you. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, whatever it is. But now I understand it's the hand of God upon me.
Yeah.
And at that time, I should have said, you know what? It's Jesus Christ. She would have just walked away, but at least she would have known what it was. And that's what God is looking for. Yeah. Every opportunity that I get, I'm just like, there's some spaces I can't even say Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But the love that I'll show you, the characteristics of him that I'll present will lead someone to ask, but why did she decide to take that route? So yeah, I mean, whatever is good, it's from God.
I like that.
That was a really good answer.
Thank you, Jesus.
No further questions.
Thank you,
no
Jesus.
Further questions for this witness. No, I just wanted to ask maybe something that can help people on a more practical level. When you made this decision, what were the sort of daily habits that you tried to work into your day for you to stay on track?
Okay. And that's a good question. Because people think that, you know, being a Christian or to make an impact as a Christian, you have to be on a pulpit. You have to be, you know, at this stage. I think number one is the word. You know, you have to just eat and soak yourself in that word for you to even discern God's voice. You have to know what the voice sounds like.
Yeah.
Before he starts giving you the audible voices, it's this word that's going to guide you. What you hear, is it in line with the word? And you can only do that when you realize faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that is the number one key. So meditating on it day and night and then putting it into practice. My daughter and I are sort of walking through this together. And because she's a kid, she grabs hold of things, you know, quicker than I do, you know. She walk in the house and she's like, Mom, there's two angels sitting on your bed. I'm like, where? You know what I mean? But her level of faith encourages me because she's soaked in the word and she takes the word as it is. And she just says, I remember the other day with my little nephew. And then there was, you know, the mango, a wasp. What is it called?
Yeah,
a wasp. And then, so it's flying. She's like, Auntie Charlie, there's this thing flying. And then I was like, Take dominion. You have dominion over all these creatures. He looks at that mago and says, Iwe, budambo. I kid you not, that thing just flew out of the window. And I was like,
oh my God.
OMG. So that
childlike
comes
faith
by hearing. And yesterday I was watching Jesse Duplantis and he was saying, you know, the responsibility to hear is yours. You are the one who's responsible. You're the one who's responsible to shut out certain things. And that's another thing that I've had to consciously do is be conscious of the things I'm listening to. What are people saying to me? What films do I watch? What things on social media do I look at? Because those things you think, but they're seeds. They're seeds that you're just sowing into your system.
Yeah.
And when certain things become normal, I'll just have a drink or two.
Yeah.
Or, you know, things that are not supposed to be normal. You make normal by what you're exposing yourself to. So you need to close certain doors.
Yeah.
Someone says something to you, I rebuke that immediately. It's got no hold over my life. And then the things that I'm saying now, I no longer speak in the negative because I've realized the power of my words, that when I speak something, I'm bringing it into existence. In heaven, when you're communicating, you don't even say, as a man thinketh, so is he. And it. So what am I thinking? Am I creating a situation with the things that I'm thinking. If I'm constantly worrying, ah, my bills are not paid. Instead of me thinking, you know what? Jehovah will provide all my needs. His grace is sufficient. If that's my constant thought process, then I will start to manifest the things that I'm thinking. But it all comes down back to the word. Do you know the word? And are you making that word become flesh in you? Oh. Yeah, I think I've answered your question.
Yes, you have.
Cool. Thank you so much, Tari. This has been amazing. It's actually been really, really good. And, you know, just hearing your story, your journey, and everything that God is doing in your life, really, really cool.
Praise God.
What I want to ask right now is, do we have enough time for you to just drop a chorus or something
for us? Oh, yes, we do. So this is a song that I actually wrote called Mazua Afanani, because one day I was in business class, the next day in Damukombi, and you're like, okay.
Things done change.
But it's all for a reason. And don't judge, you know, anyone by the circumstance that they're in, because you don't know the journey that they're walking. Mm. So this one is called Mazua Afanane. Mazua Afanane Karagarari kare Zinuza shandu kawani Zamuno nakudai Mandara yama mai Zinuza pandu kachi singa peri chinoshu Rakseri watobu damjeri zinoto shamisa Sazo funga pamaka Tisi aisheva Tirwira isuta yambutswa Mazuba Afanane Afanane Mazuba Afanane Afanane Nyarara kakuchema Shunguru zwane nema Pungwa tzavuri kaiti Waneta nekutambura Chingoti zvino dura Zvinhu zvapandu kamu Sakanganwa pataka Ranganwa istika Poneswa he said this too shall pass Chishingirira uchita Risira I can guarantee ya This pain will not last Mazuba Afanane Afanane Mazuba Afanane Afanane
Gosh, yeah, I love those words, those lyrics.
Yeah.
That is so good. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you. We thank God.
And you got some mad skill on that guitar.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. Thank God. No, I'm so grateful.
That is now my song of the year. Well, of the remainder of the year. No, but it is. It's very encouraging for where we are at right now as a country, as people. That's true. We kind of need to.
It's real.
Just understand.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt into the desert and then, you know, into Canaan? If you don't have a picture of what Canaan is, you know what I mean? And I understand where they were coming from. Mm. You know, Kutisha, they'd complain and complain, but you don't have a picture of what tomorrow is. So. Yeah. You know, mazua feka fanana, but continue, don't lose heart. Always imagine where you could be and you'll end up there in no time. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Okay, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, everywhere. Tarirone Gitare.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Nice.
Thank you so much.
I feel so privileged.
TNG.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Had you here.
And we've got cake in the house today.
You know?
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to be enjoying some cake and some coffee. Just letting y'all know.
Really? Yeah. Are you trying to just make people jealous right now?
Ah, we should, Jamal. We should. Why not?
In this right hand are pleasures.
Forevermore, you know. All right, well, thank you guys for listening. It's been real. And I really hope and pray that, you know, you've been listening to what Tari was saying and just her amazing story and a lot of the wisdom and the nuggets that were shared in her story. So,
and if you want to get the rest of the story, it's where on your
on my Facebook page is all that. Yeah,
if you
want to
get the juicy details.
Yes. And I mean, like I said, it's still a process. You know, I press on towards the price of the upward call. So every day there's stuff that I'm dealing with as well on a personal level that I try to share because I can't see anyone else who's doing it. So I'm just sharing my little journeys, where I fall, where I, you know, my little victories as well. So yeah, just keep following.
The journey continues.
Yes, the journey continues. We've only just started. So
I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. All right, people. Peace.
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 Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.